You're listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast by fans
from the iubase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program.
Welcome. We are recording this on Wednesday, February 24th, 2021. I am Carl James, joined by Indiana University Athletic Performance Coach for Baseball, Men's and Women's Diving, Track and Field, Will Alley. Tonight's panel includes stats guru Cassidy Palmer, the creator of iubase.com, Josh Bennett, and the man who has somehow failed to get at iubase 17 blocked by at B1G Baseball on Twitter, Chris Feeney. If you follow this podcast and the player interviews we've done over the course of the past year, you have heard about the impact that Coach Alley has had with these student athletes. Given what we've heard, we knew we just had to get the man himself on this podcast. For those of you who don't know much about him, I'll share some information from his IU Athletics bio page. Will Alley joined Indiana as a full-time strength and conditioning coach in fall 2014. He structures programs for baseball, men's and women's diving, track and field. Before joining the staff full-time, Alley assisted with strength and conditioning as a graduate student intern. During his time, Alley assisted with all 24 sports. As a native of Canada, Alley was previously a director of strength and conditioning at Athlete Institute in Ontario, Canada. During his time at Athlete Institute, he supervised and implemented strength and conditioning programs for high school, college, and professional athletes, while also managing and training new interns. Prior to working at Athlete Institute, Alley worked as a strength and conditioning coach at Brock University, working with men's basketball for two seasons. Alley received his bachelor's at Brock University in Ontario, Canada, in business administration, and his master's in kinesiology at Indiana University. Well, Will, it's a special treat to have you here on Talking Hoosier Baseball. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Coach, to get this started, how do you figure out how to set up a regimen for an incoming player versus tailoring it to a guy who's returning?
For the incoming players, it starts off simply by getting to know the individuals. So as freshmen, we've been fortunate enough the past few summers that they can spend a semester there just learning the campus, and it gives me a chance to get to know them, what some of their strengths are, their weaknesses are, and then we can get to work on bring them up to speed to things that they should know just as Indiana baseball players, whether it be in the weight room from my standpoint or outside of the weight room. And that's when they really get indoctrinated into the IU culture. That way, by the time we get to the fall and everybody's back on campus, they feel like they're part of the team already. They know some of the lingo that we use as far as training, and they're able to fit in a little bit easier. And then the older guys can kind of put an arm around them and treat them as a little brother and get them going a little sooner. As far as somebody that's returning, it's a similar process. Just I try and keep tabs on them while they're gone. They're playing summer ball in a whole bunch of different places, guys across the country. And so just trying to keep tabs the best I can. The guys will send me videos, and usually it's not by request. It's just something that they happen to do when they're proud of some achievements. And once they get back, it's kind of reassessing, all right, where are we at right now? And then where do we need to get to? One of the things I say often is everybody starts somewhere. It's where you end up that matters.
All right. So, Will, can you talk about some of the differences between what you set up for the guys in season training versus when they're off during the summer?
Yeah. So in season, and the thing that most people think is that it changes vastly, and it really doesn't. To some extent, anything that you'd want to be able to do in season, you should still be working on some capacity of it all year round. It just may not look exactly the same. And so what changes the most is either the volume of work that we do or the intensity, right? When we're out of season, it's a lot more volume of work because we're not on the road. We're not traveling, for example. We're not playing games. We don't have 3-4 game series going on. And so there's a bit more recovery time in between training sessions and maybe some individual practices. Whereas in season, the main focus is playing, right? The main focus is doing the thing, whether it's getting on the mound or getting in the box and performing. And then all of our training just helps supplement that. So if guys need the ability to rotate a little bit better, well, it may look like more mobility work than power work because we're already spending a ton of time taking 1,000 swings a week in the cages and then some, right? So looking at just what we do in season, out of season, nothing changes vastly as far as movements goes. It just depends on where we get those movements from. In season, it comes from the games a lot of times. And then out of season, it comes from things we can produce in the weight room.
You had mentioned that the in-season workouts, I feel like I noticed, I don't know if it was just from Coach Mercer's tenure, but it looked like on road trips, you were getting into the gyms of the other schools and the workout rooms. Was that new to just this new staff or has that been going on?
We had done that in the past. It's definitely a lot more consistent now, right? And so typically, this being kind of a COVID year, so to speak, it'll be a little bit different. But last season, for example, and the one before that, if we were on the road somewhere, didn't matter where it was, for the most part, a lot of baseball strength coaches communicate pretty well, and we kind of share each other's facilities on the road. So Friday morning, the whole team gets up. The only exceptions might be whoever's pitching that night, and because they're probably going to do the same thing the next day. And so Friday morning, we get in there, get after it. May not look as long as an off-season lift or as intense, but guys get going. And the reason we do that is because other than the season itself, if you think about 12, 13-week stretch of a regular season, maybe longer in some cases, that's the most consistent any of our schedules are, right? Any other time of the year, if they're playing summer ball, they could be in one city one day and then another city the next and so on and so forth. And then during the fall, we've got so many live periods, dead periods, and things of that nature. So schedule's always changing, but that's the most consistent our schedule will ever be. So that's the most consistent training we can get. May not be the most intense, but imagine taking off 13 weeks of every single year. You end up losing some after a four-year career.
I always thought it was pretty wild that these schools were even letting the road team in to work out. Like, even though it would be an advantage for them, that's still cool with it, though, it looks like.
Yeah, it's more so, like I said, it's a baseball culture, right? Mm-hmm. We've been to places where if it's a big football school, especially down in SEC country, it's one of those things where we've got to go to maybe their secondary weight room, or we've got to go to somewhere else, or it's like, hey, make sure guys aren't wearing this, this, and that, or just don't get seen by so-and-so, right? The football coach, that kind of thing. And there's some places, luckily, we've been fortunate not to run into them. And I'd like to say pretty good colleagues at a lot of schools that we can get in, get our work done no matter what. But there are places where, unfortunately, they have to turn people around and say, sorry, guys, so-and-so's around, and it's just not going to happen.
I would have thought it would happen more. We know you deal with baseball, but other sports. So how do you balance that, and how do the routines different? Maybe touch on a couple of the other sports you work with besides baseball.
So balancing it, I'd like to think I'm still figuring that one out. But again, the process has definitely changed since I've started just coaching in general. The sports I work with, a lot of people see them as super different because they look at the playing surface, right? Baseball's on the field, diving's in the water, track's on, well, the track. And I primarily work with field events, so pole vaulters, jumpers, high jumpers, long jumpers, triple jumpers, things of that nature. But if you look at pole vaulting, diving, and baseball, they're all considered overhead athletes, right? So there's shoulder considerations for all those. And whether it's like a pole vaulter having to get his or her arms overhead, diver having to hit the water. If you think about some of our athletes going off a 10-meter dive, they're hitting the water at like 30 miles an hour, right? So it's the ability to have that resiliency in their upper half. And then also generate power in their lower half, which you need in baseball as well. You need it on the track. And so I look at it from that standpoint. And when you look at it that way, you can train the human to achieve a lot of really cool things and then dial in what they need for their sport in particular, right? And so a lot of people look at it kind of backwards. They look at, oh man, these sports are so different. for their kids, right? They're all humans. They need to, the shoulder should function a certain way. The hip should function a certain way. They need to be able to rotate. The only things that change is kind of the nuances that apply to their specific sport. But once you do a lot of things biomechanically right, and you treat the human body the way it's supposed to be treated, and you move it the way it's capable of moving, start practicing your sport and you'll, a lot of pretty cool stuff happens.
We see you in the dugout on game days, always without sleeves, even when it's freezing. Does that come from your Canadian background?
So no, that's actually something I did stop. actually stopped that a few seasons ago. So it started by accident. And then I ended it purposefully. It started because our staff on Fridays, and we would get all the athletes from every sport involved on it, but Fridays would just be Freedom Fridays, right? So you just let the guns hang out. You have the right to bear arms and abolish slavery was the tagline, really. And that was just that was just kind of like an inside thing. And the guys loved it because, I mean, they all work out in sleeveless shirts anyway. And so when the coaches got involved, it was kind of cool. And one day, it was one of the early Friday home games. I had a cutoff on. I ran out to the field to get the guys warmed up. And I realized I still had the cutoff on because up until that point, I always wore pants and a long sleeve shirt on the field. I never wore shorts, never, nothing like that. And I don't remember what game it was, but we won. And the coaches and the players all made a joke like, hey, you kind of got to do that every time now. And so it became a Friday thing and then eventually became an every game thing. The reason it stuck was partially because during the early Big Ten season, it's cooler, right? The weather is a lot cooler. And when we're not down south or like southwest, let's say, well, we end up playing a lot of those games in late February or early March and April that are still pretty frigid. And so I kept doing it because I was at the time doing some research on some cold exposure stuff, guys like Wim Hof and a few others, and was just reading into the benefits of it. But then secondly, because we had a few guys that like to complain about the cold. And so the moment they saw that I wasn't complaining about it, they just shut up and they just played the game. I since then have stopped that partially because I was getting noticed too much for it. I'd be on like Big Ten TV and they'd always do a section on the dugout. All my other athletes would be watching games on at home and taking pictures of it. And I don't do it to get noticed. And that's the biggest thing. And unfortunately in my field, there's a lot of strength coaches out there that are noticed for kind of the theatrics. I just don't want to be one of those guys. So I kind of took that out and the guys respected, they understand for the most part. And they know better now than to know that's what causes the wins. So we're good from there.
Can you run us through what your typical game day looks like, what your responsibilities are?
Pretty simple. In a few words, it's just get the people going. And by that, I mean, I'll show up to the field early, just make sure guys are, again, looking good, feeling good. We've got a great athletic training staff headed by Joel, and then he's always got a few students that work with him. And so just kind of getting updates on anybody that's been dealing with some things, especially if it's middle or late in the season. It's a long season, so guys get banged up. So I'm just checking on guys. And then based off of that or what we've done in training that week, I kind of make some small changes to our pregame warm-up, and it'll either be a full team warm-up or I'll just take the position players through, get them ready to base run, get their bodies moving. Again, that way when we go into in and out and base running, everybody's good. And if there's a guy that's been coming off some hamstring stuff in the past, which we have had, him and I might go through a little bit of extra work just to make sure that he can get up to speed without feeling like he's tweaked anything and go from there. On a pitching standpoint, there's some younger guys that I help out a little bit with what they do when they come out of a game, right? Some of their post outing work, and whether it just be mobility from that standpoint or any of their corrective work that they might need to do right after, help them out with that. A lot of our staff believes in just training to be professional. And so I don't necessarily spoon feed them all the answers, but I kind of guide them along. And my goal is to train just about every athlete to the point where they can do without me, right? If I wasn't there on the road, which sometimes I'm not, and they're still capable of starting themselves up, still capable of warming up, still capable of knowing what to do right after they come out, they get pulled out of a game, or right before, you know, they get to pinch hit or they pinch run or something like that. It's like, oh man, I've been sitting for 7-8 innings. What am I going to do now? Right. And so it looks a little bit different from time to time, but it's really just kind of get the guys going. And outside of that, stand back and watch them work. Right. I don't get in the way in the dugout. And if anything, I just try to be that watchful eye on just paying attention to what's happening in the game, both from a physical standpoint and just a baseball standpoint. Yeah, that's about it.
We saw that you were offering baseball strength and speed fall camps in October and November last year. Did those get to happen, and do you plan on doing them again in the future?
Those did get to happen. Typically, stuff like that, I try to keep small just so that the quality stays high. So it's not one of those camps where I'll bring in 100, 200 kids or anything like that. But I keep it kind of small, and they did happen. And some of those kids are just local and wanting to get better and just learn how we do things at IU. And I'm able to teach them a few things that they can go apply at their home gyms with their dads or just at their high schools or wherever they might be. A lot of them might be a little bit younger than that at that point, but those did get to happen. And that's something that we may continue to do in the future, just kind of changing up the timing of it different times of the year so that everybody has access to it.
And what should an individual attendee expect if they were to come to one of those camps?
A decent amount of technical work, but we get our sweat going as well, right? And I respect the fact that some individuals do have trainers outside of what we do and things like that. So they may have already had a couple workouts that week. It's not like they're just coming to work out. Again, my goal is to teach so that in the few days that you might spend with me, the hours that you might spend with me, by the time you're gone, you can at least take those lessons and apply it somewhere else. And so I joke with our players all the time, but whenever they get something, I said, all right, now I can go fish, right? Because if you teach them how to do it, they'll never go hungry.
So, Will, can you tell us what kind of drills and weights, maybe some specific workouts that you might have a pitcher or position player do?
So you mean specific as far as exercises they would do?
Yes. Yeah, I know that's pretty vague.
No, it's all right. So between pitchers and position players, there's a lot more similarities than people think. Like the biggest difference comes with their role in a game, right? But as far as the physical attributes they need, pitchers need to be able to rotate in order to get a good release on the ball and be able to pitch, right? And, well, hitters obviously need to be able to rotate as well. And so the one thing that stands out is rotational power, no matter how you look at it, whether it's Muhammad Ali throwing a punch or, you know, it's somebody else just swinging, it's somebody else throwing a pitch or playing cricket, who knows, right? It's all those things. Rotational power is the same, which is why you see the occasional pitcher getting that bat and hit a bomb. It's like, where did that come from? It's his ability to rotate didn't change. It was just the skill required to hold a bat and see a ball was different than holding a glove and throwing the ball, right? So a lot of what we do exercise-wise, it's for the most part, it's the same. We'll do a variety of squat patterns. We'll do a variety of hinge patterns. So it could be RDLs, trap bar deadlifts, things of that nature. And that's just from a basic strength standpoint. When we get into some rotational power, and we'll spend a lot of time doing some anti-rotation work. So their ability to resist force. So on the lower levels, that could be something as simple as, it's called a Palloff press, basically holding a band and trying to resist it pulling you to the side and holding it out in front of you. But then on the higher levels, it's doing some movements with cable machines, or we do an exercise called the Kaiser push pull, where you actually have to push with one side, pull with the other side. You can involve your hips. You can take your hips out of it and just get your body rotating with higher and higher loads if need be, but trying to maximize the power output.
No, I've heard some stories about some alumni coming back to work out with you. And I don't know if it was position players or pitchers and whatnot, but what are some of those alumni that impressed you the most coming back?
The ones that impressed me the most?
Sure.
The one that comes off the top of my head would be he's still a workhorse, Ryan Halstead. But I would say impresses me the most because every time he trains, he learns, right? He's a student of the game. And I just remember watching him play when he was here, getting injured. And then for me, the crazy part wasn't just him coming back from the injury. It was coming back and then still ascending, going up. And so I think he's one of those individuals that's still doing that and then trying to pass it on too with all the things he's doing in the community where he's at right now. And there's a number of guys that come back in the off season and for different reasons. Some of them are finishing school and they want to train a little bit. Some of them just want to train a little bit. Some of them want to kind of get some experience coaching so they help out with the team to whatever capacity they can. And then since I'm around, it's like, hey, can we train? And for them, it's just an ability to kind of learn the ins and outs of stuff they did when they were here, but they didn't really understand. And now they get to ask me all the questions about it, the ones that are really interested. So there's a wide variety of guys that do come back and do train. But whenever they get the chance, I'm like, hey, go to warmer weather in the off season if you can. So I don't blame them whenever they do.
I've heard some wild stories there. I mean, I'm glad they come back. I like how the alumni is still plugged into a lot of the team. And it's not just baseball, it's other sports. And I'm sure you guys have, you know, that's part of the culture. They want to come back. That's impressive. Now, you come across as a pretty intense guy. I think I've seen you smile more in the past 15 minutes than ever in the dugout, even when there's some wild stuff going on. I don't know how you kept your cool with some of these teams, Milto and the guys with the clothes or whatever it was. But outside of work, like, what are some stuff you do to keep balance and unwind? And so you're not always so intense.
So that's making the assumption that I'm balanced, first off.
You know, I like that word, man. That's twice.
But it really depends. I'm into a lot of things. I enjoy music. I don't play as much as I used to, but I mess around with bass guitar. I used to quite a bit. I read. I spend a decent amount of time doing that. And as weird as it sounds, I'm a nerd. I like to learn still, whether it's learn how to cook something. And I fancy myself a kind of a culinary connoisseur, if you will. So I like to learn why and how things mix together and work and whatnot. And then I like to continue learning about training. I do spend a decent amount of time reading up on things that'll help make me better. And I tell the guys all the time, like, the stuff that I learn, I do it so I can help you guys continue to get better. And the training program from when I first started coaching in general to now, things look different, right? There's things that I look back on and go, man, I don't know why I was doing that, but I was doing it based on the knowledge that I had. So to answer your question, honestly, I'm an introvert. I don't spend a lot of time like hanging out with people here and there, and all the athletes never believe me because I'm always kind of in the weight room, at least in their face, up and going and trying to bring the energy and things of that nature. But when it comes outside of that, you can ask my wife, like, I will sit down, read a book and be quiet for the rest of the evening and just won't say a word.
So I have a question on that. What's your go-to dish and would you ever bring it out to a tailgate for us?
I don't know that I have a go-to dish. Like, I'll go in phases of things that I like to make. Recently, what did we make recently? For example, the other day I made a stir fry, and just like, it's simple, it's super simple stir fry, just because we were kind of making something real quick. But then I made the sauce from scratch myself, so it's just kind of like learning stuff like that and cutting out fresh garlic and ginger and just kind of getting taste to work together and whatnot. As far as tailgate food, I'll have to get back to you on that one. I will. I'll think about it.
Now, how did you work with the student athletes remotely while they were off campus due to COVID-19?
in phases. For starters, when it all came down, I remember we just got back from a weekend series, and I was in the weight room when all of a sudden NCAA championships for a number of my teams started getting canceled. I literally had a few divers that had just qualified for their NCAA round, just to find out moments later that it got canceled and things like that. And so early on, I just left them alone and said, hey, if you guys need anything, just holler at me, right? Shoot me a text, give me a call. And I had a few of them reach out to me and call me. And then once a couple of days and a little bit of time passed, our staff did a lot of work of using some web pages that we have set up and some apps that we have just to distribute programs. And so whether they just went onto the website or whether they used it, they were able to log into the app, we were able to give them programs that way. And for me, with a lot of athletes, it was just, hey, give me feedback the best you can. And I find that when you leave them to give them room to be adults, right? Because I tell them, I'll treat you all like adults until for some reason you proved me otherwise, right? If you give them room to be like, act like as though they're adults, they function pretty well in society, and they realize, okay, I got to get going. I got to train. And that's when I had a lot of athletes reaching out to me. He said, hey, check this video out. What do you think I can work on? Or, hey, check this out. I even had some baseball players, believe it or not, that when it all started, the first thing they did was they wrote up their own programs for themselves to do. Or I had one who's, we call the doctor, he wrote up a program for him and his dad to do. I looked over it. We made a couple of changes and said, sure, have at it. Right. And if they're that invested that they want to do that, I wouldn't get in their way. So when COVID hit, it didn't change a whole lot. I looked at it more so as we just started our summer earlier, because most of the guys are across the country in summer ball anyway. And I distributed the programs the same way we normally would, just a little bit more communication.
Now, what's your involvement like with student athletes and the training staff as athletes are coming back from long-term injuries? I know we've seen a lot of Tommy John over the last several seasons.
Well, knock on wood, we haven't personally at IU, but
yeah, it's been a few. I remember Kyle Hart going through it and Halstead with the ACL.
Yeah. And so recently we haven't had any happen while, again,
yep,
while we've been here, but we've had some guys come in with it, right? And it's kind of like a three-pronged approach, if you will. There's myself and the athletic trainers. There's the doctors or the surgeons that they're working with sometimes, and you can kind of say that in conjunction with PT. And then there's the coaching staff, right? And so if it's a pitcher coming back from Tommy John, the earliest part of the communication is with the athletic trainers and the doctors, just figuring out what are their limitations, what sort of progressions are they on right now. And for me, it's, hey, where can I fit into this, right? Not so much because I'm trying to get a piece of the kid or a piece of the athlete, but it's, hey, if there's a hole that can be filled, I'm willing to plug it. And so somebody coming back from Tommy John, the early stages, it's just me modifying how they can still train the rest of their body and minimize increased injury to that area and just promote healing while they're working on rehab of some sort. And then I always like to say there's this gray area between rehab and training, because everybody thinks it's just one hard line. It's like rehab gradually turns into training, and before you know it, the kid's just training, right? And what looked like rehab before is now just really good training at a higher level. And so I communicate with Joel a lot. I see him every day at practices, and if it's not me blowing up his phone, it's the vice versa, and just kind of figuring out, hey, where are so-and-so at in the progression? How are they feeling today? And then the biggest, most important one is just talking to the athlete, right? Ask them how they feel that day. And most of them, if you treat them like human beings, they'll be honest with you and go, hey, it's feeling kind of rough today. This is really bugging me. I threw a couple extra throws than I did last week, a few more than I did last week. So it's kind of sore. Great. That's good information for me to know to kind of tailor what today is going to look like in training and what the next few days might look like. And it gives us good information to know, all right, we should be back off and should we push a little bit and where can we do so? And then the coaching aspect of that, kind of that last prong, is what is their role on the team going to be, right? Is this somebody that has the stuff that could potentially be a starter? If so, how do we get them to that work capacity where they can actually throw some pretty good bullpens throughout the week and then get on the mound and not only physically be dominant, but mentally be confident as well?
Well, what has been your favorite in-game baseball moment since you've been connected to the program?
It's hard to settle on one, but I've got a, I would say, quick two, maybe three that come to mind. One's obviously winning Big Ten outright recently. That was just really cool. Another one, this was years ago, and I don't know if any of you remember this, but we were playing at home, and we were in extra innings. Kyle Hart gets put in at center field.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't remember who it was, but they hit a line drive to center, and everybody's going, really? And I'm just staring at it. And he runs out and makes the play right at the wall, deepest part of center field, like right at 400, and then takes 2-3 steps. Nobody saw a ball bounce. We're like, he got it, and throws it back in. And the whole time I'm standing there just keeping my cool, and everybody's just going crazy, going nuts. I walked up to him afterward and said, how big of a deep breath did you just take? He's like, you have no idea. So that's up there. But I'd say my most favorite was – it might have been 2018. If I'm not mistaken, we were playing Texas at Texas, June 3rd. All right. And one of our freshmen had just struck out. Now it's two outs. And he goes to kind of the bat rack, puts his bat down, just hangs his head, and he's kind of sulking a little bit. And mind you, we're still in the middle of this game, and it's so loud in that stadium that it was hard to hear the person next to you talk. In my day, it wasn't all IU fans, unfortunately. We're playing Texas at Texas, and so it was loud with their fans, with tailgaters and everything. But the best part about it wasn't what happened in the game, because obviously that game didn't end how we wanted to. It was one of our seniors grabbed that freshman. It was Chris Lowe, grabbed that freshman and said, hey, come on, get up here. We're still in this. We're fighting for the time of our lives. And just to watch a senior grab somebody that probably could have ended the weekend just with his head in his hands, just pull him up at that moment and say, hey, listen, this stuff is going to happen. Just soak this moment up. Don't miss it, because if you do, you're going to regret that too, right? And that was just a really cool thing to see. And just having that leadership was pretty awesome. And we've got tons of leaders like that still that just kind of, like I said, they take their arm and put it around their little brother, so to speak, and just help them along the way. So those are two that come to mind pretty easily.
Yeah, those are three pretty good choices. Anything you want to plug?
Again, Indiana baseball, Indiana track and field, Indiana diving. I think we've got athletes in all those that are doing really big things. This year has been a pretty special year for a lot of them, because given the current climate of the world and everything that's going on, we've got some athletes that are just soldiering on and just pushing big time. On a personal note, again, take a look, keep an eye out for those camps coming up. They will be coming up. And if there's people out there, there's some little projects I put in on the side, some online personal training for some individuals that maybe were once former athletes, kind of want to get back in shape, things like that. There's ways that I do that at a company called Invictus Health and Performance. So train-invictus.com, and you can get a bit more information there. But other than that, it's just Indiana strength. We're doing a lot of big things. So just kind of keep a lookout for our staff. And we've got some young guys, we've got some older guys in the field, and men and women that are just really trying to push this field forward, really trying to help athletics and in a way that I haven't seen in a while. And so it's really cool. And it starts at the top, right? Our director, Tom Morris, does a great job of just kind of corralling the troops, so to speak, and getting us kind of to work in a unified direction. But we've got so many different personalities that it just, it's cool to feed off of, right? It's cool to feed off of. So that's the best simple plug that I can give, just because there's a whole lot of people that you can really give credit to in this environment.
Well, excellent. Well, that will do it for this edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Will Ollie, we really appreciate the opportunity to get to know you better and highlight what it is that you do for Indiana University Athletics.
Thank you. It was great talking to you guys as well. I'll make note to try and smile a little bit more often, but there's no promises when we're in game and I'm that focused. But yeah, I appreciate the chance to talk to you guys and look forward to the next time.
Excellent. Well, you can read up on Indiana baseball at iubase.com. Follow us on Twitter at CUAtTheBart and at iubase17. On Instagram, it's iubase. And you can subscribe to the Talking Hoosier Baseball channel on YouTube, which features these video podcasts, game clips, game day media availabilities, and more. For Chris Feeney, Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Will Alley, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.